A few years ago, I went to a youth conference. It was a big one. There were 5,000 youth leaders, all about the age of Matt Osborne. It was not quiet. The worship, when we gathered together as 5,000, was powerful, igniting, energizing. The MC, that's the master of ceremonies. The MC would bring up a youth person for each of the presentations and each of the worship times, and he would celebrate their ministry, and typically they didn't know. They were brought up by surprise. The first gathering, the 5,000 of us in Pittsburgh gathered in the convention center, and as we finished singing and we sat down, the MC announced a man's name. He was surprised. He was shocked. This 6'5", very large man came forward to the stage, wondering why he was being called up. The MC looked at the gentleman and said, "I hear that you do ministry with the gangs in Philadelphia." And he said, "I do." He was a man, by the way, of very few words. "I do." And the MC says, I heard that you actually, when you did the ministry with the gangs, it's really hard because once you're in a gang, you can't get out. You're in it for life, and you're doing bad things with the gang to have power and might and strength and putting other people down, and you're ministering to them to bring them to Jesus." And he said, "I do." And the MC said, "I heard that one of those gang members became a follower of Jesus." And he said, "Yes, it happened." The MC goes on to say, "But I understand that once you're in a gang, you can't get out of a gang. And he became a follower of Jesus, and so he couldn't get out of the gang, or he would have been killed." And he said, "Yes, that's true." And then the MC said, "Because the man would not applaud, his heart of humility was astounding as I sat there listening to this man's confession of faith who believed so deeply in Christ Jesus, and he was working with a bunch of people that had total disregard for anything good." And the MC said, "So there was a day," he says, "there was a day when the gang gathered and you stood between the gang and the man who wanted out because he was a follower of Jesus and he no longer wanted to be in the gang, and you stood in the middle." "Yeah, that happened." And he said, the MC says, "And I heard what you said to the gang was this," and hear this carefully. He said, "What I heard is this. You said to the gang, 'Do to me whatever you would do to him, but for the sake of Jesus, set him free.'" And the MC said, the guy said, "Yeah, that happened." Again, very few words. And the MC said, "They kicked you and they beat you to almost death." And his response was, "Yes, it happened." I'm always struck by those who are willing to take on the cause of Jesus even to their own risk and their own lives. I am always struck by the foundation of faith that would give someone that kind of strength and perseverance, that they would be willing to give up everything for the sake of Christ and be free. Be free. What would make a man or a woman do such a thing? What would make them do such a thing? What would make someone risk their own life for the sake of another? Isn't that a question? I can understand if a parent is willing to do whatever they can to preserve the life of their child. We all get that, right? Isn't it? I can understand if you love someone so deeply, you would do anything to protect them, to preserve them, to make sure that they wouldn't be harmed. You would do anything. But what about someone you don't love like that, and yet you're willing to stand in the gap so that someone else would be set free for the sake of Jesus? This 6'5" large man had an extraordinary spiritual foundation in Christ Jesus. He did. Our gospel today is the well-known story that's told at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. It's a very, very familiar. Many, many of you will have heard the story. Jesus does three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's a teaching. He goes from one teaching to another teaching to another teaching to another teaching until he finally comes to the end and he tells this story and he talks about two men and he talks about a wise man and he says the wise man built his house on a strong foundation. So he found a house, and any of you who have built houses, you do know you need a strong foundation. And the guy found a foundation. It was on a rock. He built his house. And then any of the storms that came, his house would be preserved. But then there was the other guy, the weak guy, the guy who builds his house, but it's on a lousy foundation. And when the storms come, the storms destroy the house. And Jesus then looks at the people listening to him, and he says to them, he goes, the one who built his house is on a strong foundation, that's the man who heard what I had to say, and he put it into practice. And the one who notice, and these are both, by the way, these are disciples of Jesus, both of them. This is not a believer and a non-believer. Just to make that very clear, it's us. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're here today saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, wise man, foolish man, we're all sitting in the same room. And he says, wise man built his house on a strong foundation and listened to what Jesus had to say and knew, understood Jesus was his Redeemer, his Savior, and he was going to follow that for his life. And the one that had a lousy foundation, it says, yeah, they say they follow Jesus, but they don't put it into practice. And when the storms come, the house crashes. So that got me thinking about a weak foundation. What is a weak foundation? So I gave an assignment to Matt Osborne. I said, Matt, go out and do a video on a weak foundation. And here it is.
Hey, everyone. We're at stop number one. We're here in the woods. You should know we have 36 acres of property. Sorry, it's a spider. 36 acres of property at our home and a lot of trees to go around. Right here, you're looking at an old black locust tree. We actually use these for fence line because they're really sturdy trunks. But you can tell it's a black locust tree because of the way that it is. There's also a cow running at me. I think he's gonna stop. Okay. Anyways, why don't we test this out and see if this could be used as a firm foundation? Come on. Nope. Keep looking. Now, cows are a really sturdy animal. Maybe they can be used as a firm. Actually, that's the bull. So we're gonna go this way. We're just gonna say no on that one. Alrighty. So the cows obviously aren't going to work out. You know what? That's okay. Because sometimes sometimes foundations just aren't meant to be. That's why we're on this journey of finding ours. I also prefer to live and not die from the cow. So that's okay too. So we're at our next stop. You guessed it, cornfield. Now corn is used for a lot of different things. For humans for eating. This corn is not for humans for eating. This is for cows to eat, which is why they're so big. It's grain corn. Anyways, take a run in there with me and let's see if this corn can be used as our firm foundation. Come on. Nope. All right. So the tree didn't work. The cows aren't working. The corn is definitely not going to work. Don't ask me why, okay? Parents, if you've seen the movie Signs, you can explain that to your kids later on. Maybe when they're older, okay? But why give up now? We're gonna find our firm foundation, right? There's so many things around here we can use. You know, and I kept looking, and I found some perfectly good mud, you know? And mud is great for lots of things. Back in the olden days, you know, Pastor Dan, you can explain this to them, but they used to build huts and houses out of mud and clay, you know, wet sand, stuff like that. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I know that was a thing. So why don't we try out some mud, you know? What do we got to lose? Come on, everybody. Okay, we have a lot to lose.
I think Matt's point is it's really easy to have a weak foundation. And hear this, because he's playing around with a spoof on this thing. But I'm just going to tell you, my friends, it is really, really easy to have a weak foundation. Y'all heard that? It's really easy to have a weak foundation. Because everything wired into us is to disregard the firm foundation. Everything wired into us is to break the firm foundation because we want to. By nature, all of us are selfish. And in our selfishness, we seek our own gain. It is simply who we are. And so when we talk about having a firm foundation, it's harder to have a firm foundation and much easier to have a weak foundation. So when Jesus talks about having the house built in stone and the house built in sand, we are more likely to build the house in sand. We are. And what I want for you and what I want for our confirmants is to have a firm foundation and to walk the journey towards a house that sees that Jesus came into this world and that Jesus lived among us, that Jesus died on the cross for us, that Jesus rose from the dead so that death was conquered, so that we could endure through any storm that would hit us in life. Any storm, we can sustain through it. That's the foundation that I wish you to have. For a gentleman in Philadelphia, it was standing in the gangs. And he was going to stand in the middle, in the gap. And he was going to do it so someone could have a firm foundation. For us here today, I'm asking you to look at the foundation of your own faith. Where is your faith? They're going to make a confession in a moment, but where is your faith? And how are you doing with your own journey as a follower of Jesus? For you have received faith from Christ Jesus. The house on the rock or the house in the sand. It is a perplexing thing for us each to walk and each of us to journey. And each of us has to look in the mirror and say, God, I'm sorry. I have chosen the weaker way. I've chosen the weaker way. But God calls you. And God calls you despite your weaknesses. He takes you and embraces you and says, I love you. You're mine. Let's look at the last video of Matthew's firm foundation.
I I don't know, everybody. I thought I was gonna find what I was looking for out here, but I just can't seem to find myself a firm foundation. I keep slipping. I keep breaking. I keep getting scared. I don't understand why I can't find a firm foundation at my parents' house. I usually can. I don't know. It might be a lost cause. What are these? Oh, these are just hay bales. Yeah, there's circular hay bales wrapped in these long tubes, and each of them weighs about, I don't know, 800 pounds. Hey, lightweight for me. Hang on. Let's see how sturdy these things are. I think we might be onto something. Oh, yeah, woo-hoo! Those aren't going anywhere. We did it, everybody. I think we found our firm foundation. I can't even talk, come on.
So look at these verses here, folks. These are confirmation verses, and these are, you don't even know it, but these are firm foundation verses. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's a firm foundation. Hebrews 13, 5, following. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. That's one of your confirmation verses. John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And Psalm 120, verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. You see, each of these writers, like Matthew onto hay bale, each of these writers is talking about what is a firm foundation. What holds us to faith? Firm foundations are steady in any storm, but the world is out of balance. And when the world is out of balance, that means the foundation keeps shifting. Verses that you chose for your confirmation verses, these are verses that hold you steady when the world can be out of balance. When you've gone through your study, all of the things that you did, when you went through it all, we really were saying to you, faith is something that sustains. In fact, one of you wrote this in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, because that sustains you. And another of you wrote Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I don't know, Matt can jump on hay bales. He can be chased by a bull. He can dive into mud. But there's only one thing that has eternal stability, that holds us firm, keeps us steady in any of the circumstances we deal with in life. And I'm asking you to look into the eyes of Jesus, for he's already looking in your eyes. And this is what I wish of our children today, of our confirmants today, that your faith is real and alive, and no matter whatever your circumstances, that your faith sustains you in Christ Jesus through any of those circumstances. It is his calling for us today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.